Hello, everyone, and welcome back.
Welcome back.
Episode 2.
Point 2.
That's my lucky number, 22.
Oh.
Woo! Yeah. 2.2.
All right. I'm beginning to think mine's 11 of all the 11s in my life, but I digress. So we have Jessica from Caregiver Homes here for her second part of her interview. So we hope you enjoy.
Enjoy.
Bye. We love you.
We love you.
Okay, absolutely. So, Jessica, I make a phone call.
Yep.
I say, I need help.
Yep.
What happens then?
I sort of drill down and quiz you on what you're doing for your loved one, if they have Medicaid, that sort of thing, which direction we need to go next with Medicaid and waiver. And if our service isn't right for you, I am a resource. So I try and direct you somewhere else. I don't like to leave people hanging. So I try and be a resource like you all are on this podcast.
Well, we call those the answer getters. The answer getters.
Yes. So I will at least point them in the right direction or contact someone else to reach out to them. I really don't like to tell people no. And I have found with our program that if there's a will, there's a way. We can figure out a way to get people into service. But if it's really not a good fit for the family, then I will find something else.
Okay. So what if it is the right fit? What happens then after you say, okay, we can probably help you?
If they have Medicaid and waiver, then we just sort of move them right through our system and start processing. There's a background check that needs to be done and some other things. But we start credentialing that caregiver right away to get them on service.
Okay.
If they need Medicaid or waiver, then I'll push them down that tunnel.
And tunnel it is. But we're here for that. We'll have one up soon.
Yeah. So, and I continually check in with folks that I'm trying to lead through the system because it is daunting. The systems are daunting. And people like to give up. So if they have somebody that is nudging them along and checking in with them, then we get there eventually.
So from the time that somebody calls you, they already have Medicaid and waiver in place. You are getting the background checks rolling. How long on average, I know everybody's going to be a little different, from the time they place that phone call to the time that they're able to see that first stipend check?
If they have everything in place, like from the get-go, I would say a couple weeks. It's just a matter of us getting them on to our assessment team and getting, the ball rolling. So, but it can take up to 6 months if they don't have either. So everyone's different.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah. We know that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We know that.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Case in point right here.
Right, you and I?
Yeah.
We're a little different.
You and me.
Who said that? You think so?
Sing or not.
Aww. We'll get you to sing eventually.
She's awfully cute, though.
We are.
Wait till you see Jessica's picture. So, Jessica, when you say they get services, what exactly, when we boil it down, what are those services? Do people come in the home and help? Do you have classes? Do you get is it just phone calls? And do you help recognize burnout? Like, what do you do? And burnout is something that we'll get to in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Caregiver burnout. We do quarterly visits in the home. That case manager and that registered nurse each go in quarterly, just once, to sort of assess the home, make sure everything's great. We check in with the consumer to make sure, that they are happy with their caregiver, even though it can be a family member, they may not be happy.
So how many times is the consumer not happy with their caregiver?
It's kind of rare. But,
okay, I was hoping that was the answer.
I was there because I know my parents have complaints, right? Meow. Right? Right? Meow. So.
Sean
took a drink.
She has a mouthful of
Sean
water.
Sean took a drink. I almost got a shower.
Oh, boy.
But we do have to make sure that the home is safe and that everything in the home is, we have fire escape routes that we draw out and that sort of thing. We have to make sure there's no trip hazards. We have to make sure they don't have broken windows, that sort of thing. So We're trying to make sure that the environment is safe as well. So that's why we do quarterly visits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But then otherwise, they have daily contact with their care team through our internet platform called Vela that we have developed. It's a proprietary platform. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's just an app on your phone. So they communicate with that case manager and that nurse every day. What they did for mom, and I always say mom, but it can be anybody. What they did for mom for the day, how much she ate, if she had visitors. They can send us pictures if she fell and bruised her hand. You know, maybe they should, you know, the nurse will advise them to take her to the ER, to the urgent care, or maybe the nurse is going to be there tomorrow and she'll say, I'm going to look at it.
So is this a requirement that they have to do the daily checks?
In the regulation, the requirement is a daily electronic note.
Okay, so just to tell you guys what the progress is or not progress, or mom's worse today, or mom didn't want to get out of bed.
Or I need help. And we can push them information. We have a library of information about, you know, cellulitis or how to give, you know, I don't know.
A suppository.
No.
No. And we've gone there.
You're editing that up.
I don't know if I'm going to. I don't know. That's kind of hilarious. I'm not. That's part of the fun and educational part of this podcast.
Now I'm scared.
Look, your fate being in my hands is not necessarily a bad thing.
Oh.
Yes, it is. And they're scared. So
she's like, I'm done.
Jessica, don't sign off on us yet.
But they can push information to them, so educational information.
Is this a 24-hour thing? So if something happens to mom in the middle of the night, are somebody available, or do they just go to the emergency room? Like, what happens then?
We are not a 24-hour company. So, yes, they would. We say after hours, go to the emergency room if it's something that is very frightening.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
What happens if the caregiver does not do the daily check-in?
So I think our rule is 3 days from the, you know, if they don't check in for 3 days, we are, we can put them on suspension. So
okay,
they just don't get paid for that day because it is a daily rate. So that is, I explain it to caregivers that that's their time card. That's right. How we know that they are caring for their loved one.
Okay. So it's kind of like a checks and balances thing.
Yeah.
It's in their best interest.
It is in their best interest.
Because we all know everybody's on their phone all day anyways.
Yeah. And it really takes 10 minutes. You know, it doesn't take that caregiver long at all. A lot of times I think they're doing it, you know, when they are laying in bed at the end of the day, like, oh, I need to check in.
Right. So tell us about that. What happens if a caregiver says, I need help? What happens then? Is there like a team that just, SWAT team that comes through the doors and windows and they're like, we're here!
Help in like what respect? Like mom fell down, I need someone to pick her up.
Like something like that. Like you said that in the check-in they can say I need help.
Yeah.
Like what is that, what happens?
So
then?
We don't provide any hands-on care.
Okay.
Ever. So we would tell them then if mom fell like that, call 911 if you can't get her up.
I'm a little disappointed there's not a SWAT team. I'm not gonna tell you right now. Cause that'd be really cool.
I can see like the cartoon drawing in her head of the SWAT team coming in, the caregiver homes, capes.
Well, and I was actually, the A-Team theme song was playing in my head.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was like Mission Impossible.
I know you're going to be proud of me. I almost actually even started humming it.
I didn't hear that.
So close.
You know, if you start with the music, I'm never going to let you stop.
I know, so I didn't start.
And is that copyrighted? I think that's copyrighted.
Probably. That's why I controlled it.
You would probably really have to
like this.
That. She just steepled her fingers, guys. It happened. She just did it. She just did it. Okay. So do you advise to go to the, like, if they're just like, I'm burnt out, I can't do that. Oh, wait a minute. You know, we said we're going to talk about that. Jessica, tell us about caregiver burnout a little bit.
Oh, caregiver burnout is emotional, physical. I mean, we've all had work burnout, right? So caregivers get burnout as well, especially if they have other responsibilities like caring for children and caring for animals and having their own job. So burnout's real. And, you know, it's just anger sometimes.
I was going to say, tell us some symptoms.
Yeah. Anger, crying, denial, a lot of the same symptoms of grief are the same symptoms for burnout. So if you're just not feeling quite right and you're really agitated with the person that you're taking care of,
It's time to say, I need some help. Yeah. And maybe get, so if they find their own, I know that you said you had respite, but if they find somebody else to come in and like maybe for a week, they come and take over in the afternoons. Mm-hmm. Does that affect the stipend?
So the stipend is a daily rate, so we can't split it up, but there can be alternate caregivers. So let me give you an example.
Great. I love examples.
We have sisters that care for mom. One sister lives with mom all week, takes care of mom. And then she wants to go on the weekends to be a bartender and be social and get out of the house. So the other sister comes in for the weekend and takes care of mom. And then we pay that other sister. So it's whomever is checking in on that app is who we're paying for the day. So that's how that one sister gets a little respite. She gets a little break. She gets a little social time. She gets...
Hear that, sisters? Oh, mine? They get help. I'm going to be in trouble with my whole family before this is over.
Oh, wow. Notice, Jessica, I'm not bringing any of my family into this. You aren't either. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you've met my family.
My mother jokes that I've already got her nursing home picked out, so...
Do you?
No.
I was going to say, because which one of us isn't? And we're not nursing home. We're assisted living.
You're assisted living.
Yeah, we're not nursing homes.
No.
No. Yeah. We'll have a whole episode about breaking the stigma of nursing homes, but that's all for another day. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what happens with, we know that there's two and you can do the respite and all of that. Who can't, well, no, let me write that back. Let me take that back. Can a wife or husband get paid for taking care of their spouse?
That's a great question, because a few years ago, I would have said no. But now, the regulations have changed. So yes, spouses can be the paid caregiver. And guardians, that's new too. So virtually anyone can be the paid caregiver if they're over 18. Sean's got a question on her.
I'm sorry. I did not pick up on your cues, my dear co-host.
Well, so my question is... A little while back, you said that a parent cannot get the stipend to be the caregiver for their child.
For a minor child.
For a minor child.
Yeah.
But you can get a stipend to care for your spouse. You can get a stipend to care for your parent.
You can get a stipend to care for your adult child, too.
Like why not your minor child?
Because by state law, that's your responsibility no matter what.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I was paying attention.
So, for instance, if an adult child gets into a car accident, then the parents can take care of that child.
Okay. That's a good example. Yes.
That is a good example.
All right. Lots of them.
I love examples. I do. I love examples.
I bet you do have lots of them.
Yeah.
I forgot my question. It was a good one.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Sean's was a good one.
I need to write this down.
I'm really not sorry.
I know you're not. It's okay. I love you anyway. So, Jessica, tell me, does it have to be Medicaid? Or is your budget, like, what's the budget situation? Can somebody private pay you? And is that crazy expensive? Like, what? Well, I guess you wouldn't get a stipend if you're paying. That's wrong. But what's the budget?
It's okay, because a lot of people can't believe that we pay people to take care of their loved ones. So it is only a Medicaid waiver service. So there is no private pay. There is no Medicare for us. We can't accept either one of those. It's only Medicaid, straight Medicaid.
Okay. So with that being said, with somebody wants, say if somebody is listening to this and they like, we don't know if we qualify. Will they know if they qualify because they have the Medicaid waiver?
So a lot of people don't even know what that is. And and a lot of people, so there's a misconception. This is a very good topic. There's a misconception that you have to get rid of all of your assets and liquidate everything to be on Medicaid, and I won't qualify for Medicaid ever. Mom won't qualify ever.
Right.
Mom probably Well, I shouldn't say probably. Mom may qualify for community Medicaid, which is what we take. It's traditional Medicaid. And with that waiver, like in the beginning, I was saying the waiver, you're waiving your choice to go into a nursing home. So you need to keep things, assets like your home and a car, because you have to have somewhere to live and you have to have a car to get around in. So liquidating all of your assets, like when you go into the nursing home, those are the scary stories that people hear. I have to sell everything. Isn't the same for community Medicaid.
Okay.
So they can keep a home. They can keep a car. The income limit, I believe, is $25,23 a month, which is a pretty high Social Security pension income. So that's the limit. And if it's a little bit over, there's Miller's Trusts. We can talk about those later, you know, or I can talk about those with families.
Right.
The bank accounts usually are, they have to be under $2,000. So sometimes that's where we get somebody squirreled away $10,000 or, you know, there's a little nest egg. So then there's spend down that you can do.
So say somebody calls you and they're like, I have no idea if I, do you guys get into private budgets and things like you said, squirreled away $10,000. How do you find that out? Just so our people know what to expect.
Yeah, I ask those questions up front. That's usually what I'm asking when I'm, you know, starting to vet someone to see if they would be eligible for our program. So I'm asking those cursory questions like, you know, does she have any money in the bank? And most of the time it's like, oh no, we've spent it all already on medical bills. So, you know, and incomes are $800 a month. So,
okay.
I ask those questions up front. And if there's some tricky situation or they have a trust or, you know, there's a huge life insurance policy, then we recommend an elder law attorney. Because sometimes they have ways to spend down money that we don't know about.
Oh, elder law. We'll get one of those in here too.
Yeah.
Because they are very, very useful.
That'd be a great guest.
Oh, yeah. I think it would be. So,
So this, you know, Jessica has shared a lot of useful information with us today. And I have heard Jessica share this very same information multiple times. And I probably won't remember what she's shared today. But she is very helpful and very gracious anytime that I have reached out to her for help with family members, friends, or acquaintances. So she shared her phone number. Please reach out to Jennifer or I as well. And I'm sorry, Jax is feeling that he needs to chime in right now, too.
He's saying goodbye, too. He's signing off.
But really, just reach out to one of us and we can help you get in touch with Jessica as well. She's a really great resource to help get started with this stipend for you to be a caregiver for your loved one and be able to stay home.
Yeah, because, okay, first of all, Sean and I work with assisted living, and that means leaving your home and coming in to be with us. And there is like nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people want to stay home.
That's right.
And that's okay, because if your parents, grandparents, whatever, built that house with their bare hands and they want to stay home, we're there for that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because if any person worth their salt, whether you're working the assisted living or do what Jessica does or anything, if they don't want what's right for you and your family, find somebody else.
Yes.
Because
yes, that's great advice.
You are the most important in this whole process. You and your loved one are who is important, not anybody else. And you have to find where you're comfortable, where you feel like your loved one's going to be taken care of well, or even if you are the one who's going to do it and you get a stipend or whatever you need to do. Always do what's right for you and your family. Because we love you.
That's right.
We so love you.
Very much.
And we really want what's right for you. Jessica's here, and I know she's the same way. She definitely wants what's right for the family. And any person worth their salt is going to be that person. So thank you, Jessica, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And before we go, is there anything we missed?
Oh, gosh. No.
All right, throw your number out there and how to get a hold of you or even find out more about Caregiver Homes, please.
Ooh, Jessica Bamber, 574-210-9542. or you can go to caregiverhomes.com.
Caregiverhomes.com.
.com.
She's saying, y'all hear that? Woohoo! Okay, thank you guys. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't know what to say.